Well, where you are in snowy Boston, Callum, the local paper, the Boston Globe, is rethinking its approach to the crime beat. Its new Fresh Start initiative allows past subjects of crime stories to ask the paper to go back and make them anonymous. Some reformers call it the right to be forgotten, because a 100-word story in a mugshot kept alive on the internet for years can mean losing a job or not getting a loan, and the lasting consequences disproportionately impact communities of color. It's part of a trend, newsrooms across the country retooling their crime beats after last year's racial reckoning. Mike Rispoli is director of the News Voices program for the Free Press, a journalism watchdog. Mike, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And you co-wrote a Nieman Lab 2021 prediction for journalism, actually calling on newsrooms to defund the crime beat this year. Why do you want to do that?
I think when we look at how most newsrooms construct their crime beat, they tend to really center police narratives in those stories. Oftentimes, you'll see crime stories run with a single source coming from the police. And we know that the information that police give sometimes to reporters is not true, or it's framed in a way that demonizes or treats communities, especially communities of color, as threats or violent. And I think that reporting that talks about public safety or violence or trauma, that is necessary. But historically, we know that crime coverage creates a lot of harm.
You say the crime beat does harm to communities. Tell me more about that. I know you singled out the Germantown neighborhood of Philadelphia in your article.
If you look at any study that examines how crime is depicted in media, overwhelmingly the research shows that it does not serve people's needs, that people think that crime is higher than it is because of how it's depicted in the media. If you look historically about how communities of color, especially Black communities, have been covered in the news, they've been covered as threats, they've been covered as violent. And we think that it is long overdue that newsrooms really begin to re-examine what type of journalism they want to produce.
Well, I certainly hear you. Though, isn't some information about crime worth knowing? What if there's a series of convenience store robberies happening in a neighborhood, for instance, or there's a serial rapist that's attacking people in a city? Shouldn't we be covering that?
I think that when we call for the abolition of the crime beat, we are not saying that public safety should not be covered. But if you look at how the stories typically are constructed, from what is newsworthy, who are the sources, how are we constructing this story, how are we disseminating it, everything along that chain tends to either benefit police or newsrooms, and not necessarily the public.
So what you're saying about police is very interesting, and it reminds me of a journalism professor, Steve Isaacs, the late Washington Post editor, who used to tell his journalism students that all cops lie all the time. It was a mantra of his. Now, I think he was probably being inflammatory to make a point that, you know, reporters should be skeptical of any source of information. But it does make me think that maybe the point here that you're trying to make is that the crime beat should be reformed more than anything to make the journalism better so that it's more comprehensive, more contextual, and it isn't just relying so heavily on this powerful source of information, the police.
I think that the reason why we're not just calling for reform for the crime beat, but outright abolition, is because it's still referred to as the crime beat. We're centering crime, we're centering violence, we're centering police in that beat. Whereas I think what we should be focused on is centering communities that have been harmed, that have been systemically marginalized through generations of trauma from government divestment, and a deeper understanding of why violence occurs in our communities is needed.
So tell me more what your vision is then, because some newsrooms are, as you say, tinkering around the edges. They're not using mugshots anymore in their coverage. We mentioned at the top the Boston Globe and other newsrooms updating or anonymizing sources in their archives if a request comes in and is made. What else should be done?
I think some other things that newsrooms should be examining are dedicating resources to build relationships with communities that have been systemically marginalized. They should be examining the history of their own coverage for any harm that has been inflicted on communities, especially the Black community and other communities of color. And I think that any of these things, any of these decisions when it comes to changing newsroom policies need to be made in consultation with the communities that they're supposed to be serving. So I think there is a lot of momentum going in the right direction. I just don't want newsrooms to say, well, we got rid of mugshots, you know, we can wash our hands and now we're done with it.
Mike Rispoli, the director of the News Voices program for the Free Press, it's a journalism watchdog, he's calling for the end of the crime beat. Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.